Daf Pei Ches Omid Beis, second of the wide lines. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mai Dichsiv, Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Tzror Hamor Dodi Li, Bein Shaddai Yolin. Omar Knesset Yisrael, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Shel Olam, Afal Pi, Shemetzar Umeimar. So Meitzar is Miloshim Tzara, and he's deriving that from the word Tzrar, and it means Loshim Merirus. Li Dodi, you are still my beloved. In other words, even though I sinned at the Egel, and as a result you removed the Ksarim, the crowns that were given to us at Chorev, but nevertheless, we still are Li Dodi. We still have that love relationship. It hasn't been broken. Bein Shaddai Olin. In other words, immediately after the Mishkan was built for the purpose of Ashras Hashchina, and this follows the worshipping of the Egel. She'omar laso samishkan kidei she'tia shchinoso mitzumtzemes bein shnei badei ha'aron asher hayu nirim b'migdash rishon kishnei shadayim shehayu dochekim u'boltim v'paroches keneged ha'pesach. So this bein shaddai olin is a metaphor for the hashras hashchina in the beis hamigdash between the badei ha'aron, both in the first and second batei migdashos. And after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that we had broken the covenant and we had lost the Ksarim, as the Pasuk says, Horeid Odecha Me'olecha, but nevertheless, immediately afterwards, Omar Li, you, God, said to me to build a Mishkan. And the next part of the Pasuk, Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li B'Charmi Ein Gedi, is what is that telling me? Misha HaKol Shalo Mechaper Li Al Avon HaGedi. Right, the Gedi here is a reference to the Egel, and to whom that everything belongs, and that's the Eshkol, right, Misha HaKol Shalo, is Kofer, is Mechaper, on the Avon of the Gdi, Shekaramti Li, Shasafta Li, Lisavos, Laharbos, Elokuso. And Gdi is a reference to the Egel, because the God is actually an Avodah Zorah. That's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, which we studied earlier in Masechta Shabbos, of Ha'orchim legad shulchan, that we had back on Samach Zayin in the sugya of superstition and idolatry and Darkei Amori. And so this Ein Gedi is an allusion to the worshipping of this god, which is called God. And Karamti Li, in other words, nevertheless, you gathered to get me together, and I have, as a result, an intense desire for Ribui Elokuso, that we want to get close to Hashem. Sometimes, mitoch harichuk, we want to get closer to Hashem. My Masha Dahai Karmi Lishna de Michnish, who, from whence do you derive the conclusion, the Gemara asks, that the word Karmi indicates gathering together. And the Gemara answers, Omar Mar Zutra Breder of Nachman Kirisnan, as it says in the Mishnah in Kalim regarding Tumas Moshav, Kisei Shel Koves Shekormim Olav Esa Kalim. This chair where the laundress sits, and he kormim means he gathers together all the begadim in that, and he piles them up. Now Rashi says on Mechaper Li Al Avon Gdi Shekaramti Li, that this idea of heaped up is because the people collected many gods in their desire to commit adultery, as it's written, El Elohecha Yisrael. And the laundress chair here that we spoke about is a long perforated board under which aromatic spices are burned. The laundress piles clothes onto the board where they absorb the fragrance of the spices. But we see clearly from this Mishnah in Masechet Kelim that the laundress chair is one on which he heaps up clothing. So the word karmim means to heap up. The Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean? Again in Shir HaShirim, when it says, lechayav ke'arugas habosem, and this again a reference symbolically to God, his cheeks are like a bed of spices. Kol dibur v'dibur me'aseres ha-dibur she'yotza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nismale kol ha'olam kulo besamim. The whole world became filled with fragrant spices. And the fragrance of the spices were required to revive those who had become faint upon hearing the sounds of the aseres ha-dibros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words spiritually purified the people's souls, just like a fragrant spice revives the body. So the interpretation of the word lechayav, his cheeks, as a reference to luchos, the tablets. In other words, every statement of his tablets on which the Ten Commandments were engraved emanated with a fragrance like a bed of spices. And then it says, v'kevon shedibur rishon nismali, the world became filled with the fragrance from the first statement, is recho shel dibra sheni lehechon holach. So the question is, where did the fragrance from the second statement go? If the world was fragrant from the first statement, then the whole world is already fragrant. So what impact does the second dibur have? And even though the reach here is not physical, and we're really talking about something more spiritual, but in any event, the Gemara is asking that since the world was already filled with the reach tov from the otzem, from the power of the first dibur, where's there room for the second dibur that could make it could be a dibur nikar, it should be some sort of nikaris? But the answer is, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ruach Mi'otzrosov, that he took the wind out from his storehouses, V'hoyamavir Rishon Rishon, and he drove away each fragrance in turn. And it possibly went into the Garden of Eden, because he says, L'achar kol dibur hayamavir esareach shel oso dibur l'gan Eden. And he writes, V'haya chalal ha'olam misroken mireach ha'dibur ha'kodem. So the atmosphere of the world was now devoid of the original ruach, of the reach, excuse me, of the first dibur, the previous dibur, so that now there's room for the next dibur to generate its reach. Because with the every time he starts the next dibur, the reach of the first or the previous dibur goes into Gan Eden. Now these besamim that we spoke about have a remez to Tanug Ruchni, because the sense of smell is considered something which the neshama is nenes mimenu. So he's trying to give a reasoning, why is there no schar for mitzvahs in this world, schar mitzvah hayal meleka, because diburo v'tzivuyo shel Hashem ein lo gvul. The command of God has no physical boundary. V'chein gamli tainug aschar, so too for the reward for fulfilling God's will and His command has no boundary. Therefore, ye'efshal l'shalmo b'yolam hazeh, the reward could not be given in this world because this world is finite, whereas the reward is infinite. V'chol chemdol sa'olam hazeh l'yaspiku l'shalmo v'yemes ha'yishalm yischar mitzvah shniya Al kain rotzon Hashemi sheidoch eschar mitzvus li olam aneshamas began Eden v'sham yikablu. So the schar mitzvah will be pushed off to the world of spirits of souls, which is Gan Eden, and there the soul will receive its reward, and that reward is nitzchi, it's infinite, and that's the remnancy of hismalus ha'olam b'samim kol dibur the dibur. The world is filled with the fragrance of each dibur, and now the wind, so to speak, takes that fragrance and transfers it over to Gan Eden, and that's the Ratzon Hashem. Now the next part of the pasuk says Sifso Sav Shoshanim notfos mar over, his lips are flowers, they drip flowing mirth. Al tikri shoshanim ela sheshonim, which means shina kodesh baruch hu achri kol dibur vehevir me'olam esreach hamor. So the concept of shoshanim here is read as if it meant to repeat or to somehow be able to cause the fragrance to be smelled for each dibur. Although in the Hebrew translation he says shina, shoshana miloshen shinui, umar over al shehevir es hareach. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi called dibur v'dibur, all the Aseres HaDibros, each one Yotzah Mipi Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yotzah Nishmasen Shal Yisrael. The souls of the Jewish people departed from their bodies. Shenemar, how do we see this? Also in Shir Hashirim, Nafshi Yotzah B'Dabro. My soul departed as he spoke. Umi Achar, Shemidibur Rishon Yotza Nishmaso, if the soul departed already after the first Dibur, Dibur Sheni Hech Kiblo, by then they were all gone, they were dead. So I had the second Dibur, how is that a situation of Yotza Nishmason? Ela, but rather, Chorid Hashem Tal, Shu Osid Lahachios Bo Mesim. God brought down the dew with which He would resurrect the dead in the future of a Hechiel Psalm, and He resurrected them between each Dibur. Shenemar, because it says in Tillim with regard to Matan Torah, Geshem Nidovos Tonif Hashem, a generous rain did you lavish, Nachloscha, your heritage, vinila atoch chonanta. Your heritage was weary, and you established it firmly. Klomar, shal yidei tal hatchia, v'gishmei haratzon, shehenef aleim, konein Hashem, kunan Hashem es amo, v'nachloso hayigeim. So this do, which is a tool to resurrect, with which you resurrected, God resurrects the dead, and also the rains that came down from Shemayim, Beratzon, all this was to re-strengthen the people of Israel who were weakened. They were sort of exhausted by the experience of the first Dibur, etc., etc., as we go through the various Aseres HaDibros. And the language here, vinila atokonanta, is miloshen leus viyegia, when you're absolutely exhausted. Now, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them from the get-go a koach to be makabel the dibur? Why were they so weak that they couldn't receive the dibur and yotza nishmasan until it was replaced by the Tal of Tchia? Says the Ben Yoyada, Osakein kidei lahetiv eslev gufehem shal Yisrael shiomru agufim anachtu amelim veinu makablim schar ulbasov haguf yitman biofar v'nefesh levado tisaneg b'gan Eden yisvachein hichyosam biosotal sha'osid lahachyos bo es hamesim v'yosid lavo kidei sheyedu shetia tchias hamesim v'gam hagufim yikablu eschara. So when God resurrects them, so again, if the goof will come forward and say, well, you know, we were part of this hamelus, and yet we're not rewarded because, you know, it's only the nefesh that goes to Gan Eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore is mechayev them with this tchias hamesim, with that tal that he's going to use liosid lavo to be mechayev the mason, and they should know that even the goof will be mekabel schar. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, another statement of Yeshua ben Levi, called Dibur v'Dibur Sheyotzei Mipikadosh Baruch Hu. Chazru Yisrael Lachorea. Every time they heard the announcement of one of the Aseres HaDibros, the Jewish people retreated. How far did they retreat? Shneimasar Mil. 12 mil. Now he says that 12 mil, if the orech of the Machne Yisrael was 12 mil, that's Gemara in Erevin, is Machmas HaPachad, Chazur HaKrovim Lidibur Achoranis Ad Ktzeh HaMachne. So when he says here 12 million, that's because of the size of Machne Yisrael. And because of the Pachad, Chazru HaKrovim Lidibur Achoranis, they found refuge sort of like at the end of the Machne, and that's 12 mil distance. Now he says the following: Midadin Osam. The angels were helping them out to get back that, you know, to where they were before, where they were sort of like blown away by 12 mil. And so that Liskariv Ma'at Machanemar Malache Tzvokos Yidodun. Let's just read that pasuk. The angels of legions totter, they totter. Al Tikri Yidodun, don't read it as if it says they totter, but rather Yidodun, but rather Yidadun, as if it was written Yidadun, which means they help others to totter. And this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is teaching something that seems to contradict what we said before. He himself taught us that the people died when they heard the Dibros, and here it seems like the Malachi Asharis were helping them. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi already taught us that a fragrance was sent forth to revive those people who became weak. So they didn't die. So what are we going to do with the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that they died? Perhaps we could differentiate between different members of the Jewish people, each of which reacts in a different way, according to his nature. So some fled, some became faint, and some even died. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'shasha olam Moshe l'morom Moshe comes up the mountain to receive the Torah. Omru malochei ha'shoyis lefnei ha'kodesh baruch hu, baruch shalom, mali yilud isha beinenu. What is this man who's flesh and blood, son of a woman? What is he doing up here in Shamayim? Amalehem lekabel Torah. He came up to Shamayim to bring the Torah down to the earth. Amalefana. They said, Chemda or Chamuda, Gnuza, Shegnuza, Lechot Shamios, Veshivim, Vyarba, Doros, Kodem Shinivolom, Atomavakish, Litna, Lebosa, Vedom, Ma Enosh, Kitis Karenu, Ben Odom, Kisif Kedenu. You're talking about your special treasure, the Torah itself, which was stored by you in a treasure for 974 generations before the world was created. And the Mefarshim tried to explain what are these generations. Then we're talking about almost 1,000 generations. We have the number 974 generations. Now, the Torah was destined to be given at the end of 1,000 generations, but based on a verse in Tehillim, it says, Dover Tziva Li Elef Dar, and there were only 26 generations from Adam HaRishon till Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the period in which Torah preceded the world, there should have been 974 other generations. If we take 1,000 and we subtract 96, we get 26. I'm sorry, we get 974. However, Hashem saw that the world could not endure that long without the Torah, so He never actually created these generations. Let me read to you a shortened form of the comment here based on the Mishnah in Avos that the Torah is called Kli Chemda. The Magen Avos of the Rashbeitz says that this is based on a Pasuk HaNechmadim Mizav Umipaz Rav. And that's a Pasuk in Tehillim, and it refers to the Torah. And as far as the numbers of the generations, the Torah came before this world by 2,000 years, as the Medrash says in Shir Shirim. V'im gam ha'olam ha'yenivra oz, if the world had been created 2,000 years earlier, then hayu asidim libare b'shanim alolu, there should have been 974 generations. The Torah was ru'uya, it was fit to be given only after Elef Doros from the creation. And that's Dover Tziva Li Elef Dor. After 1,000 generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Ein Olam Yochel Eskayim Zman Kora B'li Torah Vehaviram V'lo Bara'am. In other words, He didn't create the world, but Nosan HaSatorah 26 generations after the creation of the world, from other region until Moshe Rabbeinu, and Mikan Shadoros Shehevir Velo Bara, all those generations which He did not create were 974 generations. And all this is Rashi reflecting a Gemara in Chagiga, the way it's understood by the Turei Evan. In any event, Ma Enosh Kisis Karenu, who is man that you should remember him? Uben Adam Kisif Kedenu, or the son of man that should you call him or recall him? After all, Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz. David HaMelech says that Hashem, your grand name is greater than all of the earth. Tna Hodcha Asher Tna Hodcha Al Hashamayim. You should therefore bestow your glory upon the heavens. And this is a claim by the Malachi Asharis that the Torah belongs to them. And that's Hodcha. That's your glory. Upon the heavens, meaning upon the glorious angels up in the heavens. And the Marsha explains that there was a vikuach here, a debate, rak al chilek ha-nistar shebetorah, only on the secret parts of the Torah. And the Chemda Gnuza is an allusion to the sodos ha-Torah that are nignazim, that are hidden. And man who is mortal, the creation, he's born to female, to a human being, flesh and blood, and he's all material, does he deserve to receive the nistaros, the secrets of the Torah? That certainly belongs to the Malachi Asharis. Now, according to Maral Miprag, the angels argue that the Torah preceded the world by 2,000 years, and it means that the Torah doesn't belong to this material world. Man was formed from earth, he's completely governed by nature, he's perfectly physical. Why should such a celestial treasure be given over to mortal flesh? Now, in truth, Malachi Asharis have no free will, and therefore they are critical even of a person, a human being, who chooses to do good, to observe the Torah. They wonder, how could that person have struggled? How could he have entertained the notion, even for a split second, that which is false is true? And therefore the angels are very critical of man, because the Havamina, so to speak, the very act of weighing between one's physical desires and pleasures and God's will, that itself is a desecration of Almighty God. And from their perspective, their man's existence itself is indefensible. There's no way that you could really justify man's existence. And now you're giving him the Torah, the greatest treasure that surpasses all worlds? Very, very sharp and profound argument of the angels. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to Moshe, you know what? You give them an answer. Achzelem tshuva. If this is going to be a debate about who gets the Torah, then you should come forward and put forward your argument. And he says here, in the name of the Ben Yoyod Hashem lo heshiv lem, God didn't respond to the angels, but rather turned to Moshe to give the response. Ki ritzono sheyikra hanitzuach al shmecha. That God is saying, I want the success and the victory in this debate to be called on your name, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're an embodiment, a manifestation of the midah of Netzach. And Netzach is Menatzeach. You can overcome the Molochim. The Sifsei Chaim explains that the difference between man and the Malach is freedom of choice. The angels don't have freedom of choice. They don't have a Yetzer Hara. They don't think or entertain at all the possibility of violating the will of God. Man, on the other hand, is given the power of choice. And he is seduced and influenced all his days by the Yetzer Hara to rebel against God. And if he succeeds, and Omed ben Isayon, and he's not, you know, going to capitulate to the pitui of the Yetzahara, this is the tzaddik who's menatzeach. He is victorious. He overcomes his Yetzer on a constant basis. The Malachim, they can't understand, they can't really comprehend the challenges that man faces. They don't appreciate the Kiddush Hashem when man overcomes his Yetzahara. Because in their frame of reference, from their perspective, Ra is just simply shtus. So what greatness could you attribute to man because he avoids evil? They think that Chil Hashem, even at the Madrega of a Tzaddik, who always chooses the good, is, even though he chooses good, it's still Chil Hashem. Because, as we said before, the very fact that man is challenged and he you know, so to speak, raises the havamin of violating the will of God. So Moshe says, Ribono shel olam, misyari ani shema yisrafuni behevel shebethia. I'm afraid to argue against the malachim because perhaps they will burn me with the breath in their mouths. And the Hevel, says the Marsha, is kulo ruchni, it's completely spiritual. And it's mesugal to comprehend the Torah in the most spiritual sense, much more than man, who is physical. And that's the Hevel here that Moshe is very afraid of. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, don't worry, echoz bekisei kvodi v'chazor lehem tshuva. Take hold of my throne of glory and give them the answer. And perhaps this itself was a response to the malachim. Only man can be part of the lower world and yet reach the throne of glory. Only man is deserving of the Torah. Shenishmos hatzadikim tzuros b'tzorachayim tachas kisei hakavod. And therefore, even though man is mortal, he's flesh and blood, he's material, nevertheless he is muchan lekabel ruchnius. He has the ability to be ochez bekisei hakavod. And perhaps the concept of ochez bekisei hakavod is what we call mezes shchinoso v'anono, that man can somehow make an impact on the spiritual worlds of divinity. He holds on to the Kisei HaKavod. And this itself, as we said before, implies a response to the Malachim. The Malachim who say that the Nistaros of the Torah are not appropriate for man. But now you see that man is capable of reaching the Kisei HaKavod, and therefore you cannot deny him that he is suitable for Nistaros, for even comprehending the secrets of the Torah. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is left with the job to respond to the Malachim. Why? Madua hi re'uya l'bnei Adam. Why is the Torah fitting for man more than it is for the Malachim? Don't tell me that the Adam is completely excluded. He is Ochez b'kisei hakavod. The Sam Sofer adds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu two things. Number one, Echoz, Kidei Sheyiru Shata Ochez B'Kisei HaKavod, that you have a Hasaga, you have a comprehension, you can reach and connect with the holiest and the highest of all worlds, and moreover, Hachzer Lehem Tshuva, you can explain to them, as a Yilud Isha, as mortal man, that you have the capabilities of, in the lower worlds, reaching the higher worlds. Something that the Malachi Asharis, they may know and have a comprehension, a perception of the higher worlds, but they have no understanding of the emotional, physical world down here. And that's what Moshe is going to teach, so to speak, the Malachi. Now, how do we know that Moshe was told to grab on to the Kisei HaKavod? This is based on a pasuk in Iyov Shenemar, Mi Achez Pnei Kisei, which means take hold, allows him to grasp, take hold of the face of the throne. It says Pnei Kisei, and Pershais Olav Anonu. He spreads upon him his cloud. Om Rabbi Nachum Melamed Sheperes or Peras Shakai Miziv Shchinoso V'Anonu Olav. The verse is teaching us that the Almighty spread some of the radiance of his presence and his cloud upon Moshe Rabbeinu. Par says is an abbreviation of Peresh Shakai Miziv. Almighty spread some of his radiance. Oma Lefana, Moshe says to Ribono Shel Olam, Torah Shatanosein Li Ma ksivba, the Torah that you're giving to me, what's written in it? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shetzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. It opens with God identifies himself as the master who took the people out of Mitzrayim. Omar Lahem, now Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Malachim and he says, V'chi atem l'mitzrayim yoradetem, l'faro ishtabadetem. Right? It says, God introduces the Torah by saying that he took the people out of Mitzrayim. Well, did you, the Malach, did you go down to Mitzrayim? Were you Meshuvah to Paro? Torah, Loma Te'elachem. What Shaychus, what relationship do you have to Torah? When Torah is being given based on the identification of God who took us out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe's arguing that if it's Derech HaNistar, it's Roy Lo Adam. Roy Shiiten Lo Satori Yosem Eshar Litno Le Malachim. Mishum Shechelek HaNigle Sheba Eino Shayach Bim Malachim. Shelo Hayu B'Mitzrayim V'Dini HaTori Enim Shayachim Ba'em. So basically, what Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing, that even the part of the Torah that's Nistar, the secrets of the Torah, that's also suitable for man. Because since man has this one-up-it on the Malachim as far as the Chelek HaNigla in the Torah, man should also be given the Chelek HaNistar. Because these two Chalakim, these two parts of the Torah, the Nigla and the Nistar, are Mechubarim Zelaza. They are interwoven. They're integrated into one whole. You cannot say, well, you know, Malachim would argue, well, man is greater than we are as far as the Olam HaTachton, you know, the lower worlds are concerned, and that's the Chelek HaNigla of the Torah. And even if we admit, says the Malachim, that we cannot, you know, receive the Nigla of the Torah, but certainly not the Nistar, and the answer is that we don't separate the Nigla and the Nistar. If, by your own admission, Malachim, the Torah as Nigla has to be given to Bnei Yisrael, has to be given to physical man, then by the same token, they deserve the Chelek HaNistar, the secrets of the Torah. Shuv. Once again, Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maksiv Bei. Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acherim. You should have no other God. So Moshe turns to Malachim, and he says, Bein Amim Atem Shruyim? Do you live amongst the nations of the world? She'ovdim. And here we turn to Daf Peites Avodah Zarah. You know, what shaychus do you have that Hashem would command you not to worship Avodah Zarah? You don't even live, you're not even influenced or exposed to the world of idolatry. Shuv Maksibe, again, Moshe asks, what does it say in the Torah? Zocher es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. We have 6 days of Melacha and then a 7th day of Shabbos. Klum Atem Osim Melacha. Are you involved in Melacha Shatem Tzrichim Lishvos? Or Shvus? Shuv Maksiv Bei. Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Lashov. Chi Masa Umata Masa Umata Nyesh Bei Nechem. Do you have any dealings one with the other? Now sometimes when you have a business transaction, somebody has to take an oath. Did you have any transactions that you would ever have to take an oath and the Torah would have to warn us not to violate our oath, not to take a false oath? Shuv Maksibe, Kaberes Avich Vasimecha, Ava Em Yeshlechem, do you have a father or mother? Shuv Maksibe, Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinov, Lo Tignov, Kino Yesh Beinechem, Yetzahara Yesh Beinechem. The Torah enjoins us from murder, from theft, from adultery. And this is all based on jealousy or the power of the evil inclination. A person who's jealous might steal. He might even kill. Well, what Yetzahar do you have? What jealousy do you suffer from that it might lead to murder or theft? Do you have any Yetzahar that might lead to Niv? Miyad hodulo la kodesh baruch hu. Hodulo la kodesh baruch hu. They confessed, they admitted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give the Torah to Klal Yisrael rather than give it to us, because the Nigla is Eino Shayach B'Shamayim. Once the Chelek HaNigla could not be appropriate for us in the celestial spheres as angels, is Shenemar, that says in the Mizmor and Tehillim, the Malachim said, Hashem Adunenu, they admitted, Mo Adir Shimcha, Ve'ilu, Tna Hodcha Al-Shamayim, Loksiv. Initially, the Malachim had claimed, Tna Hodcha Al-Shamayim. And here it says, Hashem Adunenu, Mo Adir Shimcha, as if to say, you don't have to bestow your glory upon the heavens. Is Miyad Kol Echad Ve'Echad Nasalo Ohev. Immediately, every one of the angels became a friend of Moshe Rabbeinu. Umasa lo dovar, they gave him something. Shenemar, olisa lamarom. All this is in the same chapter in Tehillim. Shavisa shevi, you've taken capture. Lakachta matonas ba'adam, you've taken gifts for man. And what does it mean, ba'adam? Bischar shekraucha adam. Lakachta matonas. In other words, as a reward for being, for bearing all the insult which the angels called you a man, and that's a language, Adam, of shiflus, because Adam means man was created from the earth, and you're willing to bear that insult. And therefore, lakachto matonos, you have taken gifts. Okay, fine. So now, so to speak, the Malachim are trying to appease Moshe Rabbeinu because they called him an Adam, and they gave him gifts. Not clear yet what the gifts are, but Af Malach HaMoves, even the angel of death gave him something, Masal Odovar. And what did he give him? He gave him his secret. In other words, some sort of device that would stop him from bringing death to the world. And that secret was to burn the fire pans of incense during the plague, the Ketores, while standing between the king, between the living and the dead. And that we see here in this pasuk, Vayiten es haktores. This is after the Magef, after the uprising of Korach. Vayiten es haktores, vayechaper al ha'om. And Moshe took the fire pan. He pulled it from the fire on the altar. He placed the incense, and he, Aaron, placed the incense and atoned for the people. V'yomer, and the pasuk further says, "Vayamod bein ha-meisim u'bein ha-chayim," and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was checked. V'yateyotzer ha-magefa, v'i lav di omerle mi'aviyoda. Now, who would have told him this secret? How would he have known about standing between the dead and the living? It must have been the Malach HaMoves who revealed to him this secret. And Aktores HaMachtos of Ktores, or the Amida between the Chaim and the Mesim, which stopped the Magefa, Mi HaViyoda. Could Moshe Rabbeinu have known this by himself? But the answer is that it must be that this secret was revealed to him as a gift by the Malachim, and that's the gift of, in a sense, life that could save the people from this terrible magefa. So he says, "Im lo mi malach hamavs atzmo minayin yoda Moshe dover zesher et Torah lo nichtav." And it would seem that according to Rashi, this is not written in the Torah. And there are things that are not written in the Torah that Moshe perhaps could have known, in this case, known through the Malachim. And he writes, V'af shelo kol ma sheyoda Moshe v'lomen mipi Hashem nichtav b'Torah. So not everything that Moshe knew and studied from God was written in the Torah. God never gave him this specific mandate to burn the incense. And and this is all from the Ben Ish Chai, that God gave the ability to the Malach HaMavos to take life away. It's impossible that he would have given a counter ability and revealed to a creation something that could interrupt or disturb the work of the Malach HaMavos. And the Gemara says in Psachim, Kulam Yesh Eved Klum Yesh Eved Shenosim Lo Rabo Matana V'Chozer V'Noto Mimenu. But it must be that this is a sod to the Malach HaMavos himself. Okay, we're going to stop here. V'Omer Abishu Melev B'Shoshi Yorad. And that is here on Daf Pei Tes Amid Aleph. And let's just see if we can mention how many lines down it is, so we'll start at the right place next year. It's the two dots are about, trying to figure it out, about 20 lines down from the top of the Amud.